Welcome, everybody. This is Paul Bowman, and this is the Healthcare Heroes Podcast. And boy, are you in for an exciting time today, because I've got Robert Breaux on here. And I think Carrie is somewhere
I'm
in
here.
there.
I'm here.
Yeah, in the home studio. And anytime, Carrie, that we get off track, please bring us back on track. All right.
Okay, can do.
Okay. Well, Robert and Carrie both come to us well spoken of, particularly in their character and integrity, but also, of course, in what they do and how they do it. And what's really of note, Robert is the chairman of the Florida Assembly Medical Committee, which is really quite exciting because there's a lot of things that are going on these days that are really exciting. But I'm not going to steal anybody's thunder. I just want you to know that these are highly sought after holistic healthcare providers, and you're going to get a chance to hear from them today. So, Robert, if we could we start out with you and you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Well, I'll be 73 in July. And for most of my life, I've been involved in healthcare. I started working in a hospital right out of high school, worked in an operating room as an orderly. And I used to clean the rooms and watch the surgeries and go get patients, take them from the recovery room. And I couldn't get enough experience of watching surgeries. And then I'd go down to the pathology lab and watch postmortems and just trying to learn as much as I could about the body. And that really filled a lot of my needs at that time. But I did that for 13 years. I was involved in cardiopulmonary, and I was actually a department head in a medical center when I was 25 years old. I was pretty aggressive, pretty gung-ho. And that's before I really understood the political side of all this and the spiritual side.
Oh, so you're telling me there's a political side to medicine?
So that's pretty much all it is. But at that time, I was too young and inexperienced to really see that whole big picture. But after years of working in that environment, I finally had to let go of that trapeze, and I went for the holistic one.
Nice.
And Carrie and I, this year will be 40 years that we've had our own clinical practice and working with where we really learned the most about healing is working with medical throwaways. These are people who have been given a death sentence by the medics, sent home to die. And there's a percentage of people that say, well, maybe I'll check out this alternative approach. You know, after they've been compromised with all the diagnostics, you know, the radiation and.
Anyway. You know, it just came to my mind. I never thought about it till then. Maybe the good thing about them being in that position is they're not, they are not no longer fooling themselves so much. Like says, listen, what part are, you know, we're done with you. So
they tell the people that there's nothing more that can be done. But what they're really saying is there's nothing more that we know to do. So,
yeah, well, I was thinking from the patient's perspective. So, well, if there's nothing more that could be done allopathically, then maybe I better search out something else.
Exactly.
Like putting them out of their misery.
But there's a greater percentage of people that just accept that, and it's self-fulfilling because this person in a position of authority to them gave them this sentence. And, you know, time after time, you see it's self-fulfilling almost to the day. A lot of times it is to the day of when they got this sentence from an allopath. So we worked with these people that were maybe not make it around the next curve. And the human body is so incredible. It can respond after such a lick, and it keeps on ticking.
Yeah, right.
So we had a separate facility that we would put people in. We had a 16-hour-a-day program that we would put them in, with lots of nutrition going in, lots of detoxing coming out, and then just educating them and correcting the, I call it the stinking thinking.
Yeah. And
these ideas that have been put in our heads about healing. And we have to teach people the real doctor is within. Only your body can heal itself. No one else can do that. And your body's right. doing that constantly. You make a billion cells every hour, 24 billion new cells every day. And you got to have the building blocks to make those cells, right? That's why nutrition is so important. But also, more recently, we've had changes in our environments that limit the function of our physiology, especially the generation of energy in our bodies from what are called mitochondria. These are the engines of our cells. And they get downregulated from how they should be functioning. They should be functioning like a Ferrari, but in most people, they're running like a Nissan Sentra, blowing black smoke. And they don't have the energy to perform basic physiologic functions, because every function in the body is dependent on mitochondria for its function. So when mitochondria get downregulated because of exposure to environmental influences, these are non-native, man-made influences that are biophysics effects on the body. And physics trumps biochemistry.
Yes, every time.
If the physics aren't right, the biochemistry can't work. No matter what kind of supplements, kind of food you're eating, the juices you're drinking, if you don't have the mitochondrial function to process all that, you're going to be swimming against the current. And that's why so many people have such a hard time recovering from their conditions, is they're in their own environment. And then if you're in the hospital, it's even worse. You know, we've got so many negative influences from just the lighting itself, to the electromagnetic fields, telemetry, Wi-Fi, all the harmful drugs, surgeries, radiation, slash burn poison, we call it. And it's really hard for them to recover. And recently they've been incentivized to actually murder people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So the drug companies are behind most of this. And that's what runs television, is advertising. That's what television was created for, its ability to advertise. So when you look at network television, what's driving that? What kind of advertisements are you seeing over and over again? Drug ads and junk food. Those are the two biggies. That's what funds television. So they have control over what's broadcast, who they interview, who they don't interview. They can just threaten to pull their drug advertising revenue, and they've got control. So we quit watching mainstream TV decades ago. And when the internet came out, that just opened up so many more opportunities. I mean, there's a lot of junk on the internet too, but at least you have options to pick from. And you can do right. it when you want, at your leisure, not when they say you got to watch it at this time. You know, remember the TV guide? And you'd...
Oh, yeah.
And that would control people's lives. You know, they when they ate, when they went to the bathroom, you know, wait for a commercial. So they really have a lot of control in our lives. And people don't realize that we get actually hypnotized watching TV. We go into trance. And normally our eyes are scanning all the time around the room, wherever we're at. But when we're watching TV, our eyes are fixed on one spot, usually across the room. And we go into trance, just like looking at a pendulum or something. You're focused on that one spot and you go into trance and your subconscious mind is wide open. And so all that stuff goes right in. And so if you don't understand that, it's a highly refined science and art that they've created. But the music and the ads and stuff is like the rhythm, the tempo is the same as mother's heartbeat. And we just subconsciously sync right up to this stuff. And so people think, well, I don't listen, but subconsciously, watching that stuff, you should mute at least the commercials.
Absolutely. That's what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much, we don't watch any network TV, but every time they do, just mute it. I also don't look at the screen.
Right.
Just to make sure that that's not happening.
Yep, because there's all the subliminal stuff that is faster than the blink reflex that your brain gets it, but you consciously don't get it.
Right.
So yeah, we had to teach people about all this stuff, you know, and turn their whole life around and their whole how they viewed their world and give them back the power of healing and connect them with God if they didn't already have that connection. So it's been an interesting journey. Carrie, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, that's what I was getting ready to ask, Carrie. What distinctives come to your mind in terms of when you guys kind of minister in your coupleness to people? What I hear you say, Robert, one time you said you're the two...
We're two
wings on the same butterfly.
Yeah, we're two wings on the same butterfly. That's how we see ourselves.
All right. Well, let's see. My healing journey probably be. I mean, I've always been into health and healing. My upbringing was. I was actually like in a probably into a time where things were. Like, okay, when I came into the world, when I was born, you know, the food didn't get tainted yet. There was minimal vaccination programs. So I probably slid by a lot and then just had a natural interest in health and growing in plants. I remember as a young girl going to probably like 10 years old, like where I lived, there was like a apothecary or some sort of place that you can buy herbs in bulk. And I just happened in there as a kid, you know, just going downtown looking at stuff and fascinated. And then just started listening and learning and checking out books from the library, buying little things of herbs and making my own shampoos and soap. And then eventually learning how to decoct herbal essences and all sorts of forms. And then was into the growing. So like as I got into like peppermint and found out its uses, I then grew it. And experience the plant itself and the medicine of how it works. So I have always done that my life. And then getting more into the age of having to do something for a living, I just naturally, you know, in Bobby and I, we went through a lot of schooling, a lot of education, a lot of just so much together. My side was a lot of healing and how to make something work for people. I knew people had to eat. I knew you had to get things down and then learning how to remove obstacles and put things in place. So part of the healing journey for me is how to make medicine or medicines, plant medicines, herbal medicines, whatever, therapies effective and to get them into people. How do you get something, you know, past the lips and over the gums? How do you get it in? How do you build that? How do you take something? You know, a lot of times we need a lot of bitter things. People don't like that. So not only that, but then other avenues of administering healing, like Bobby mentioned a little bit earlier, that you know, you're getting in juices, you're getting in teas, you're getting in nutrition, you're getting in supplements, you're changing the diet, and then you're helping people to eliminate. You're helping people to expel. You have to do cleansing and flushing, and that's pooping and peeing and sweating and, you know, vomiting and all those nasty things, debreeding skin. That's where things get really dicey. So learning to put those in ways that are effective and not torturous, because part of that is taking the reins back for yourself. If you learn that's like, look, I poisoned myself, I have to get rid of it in this way or in that way. And how do you make that amenable, and how do you make that workable? So that's my side of healing. And, you know, together we help people on all those parameters, you know, shining the light on things and helping educate people, and then removing obstacles and then putting new things in place. It's like, if you're remodeling an old house, you know, there's parts of that the wood is good, and there's other parts that the wood is all rotted. You want to know where it's rotted, so you replace that and have a stronger structure, you know, underneath, and then you can rebuild the window and the wall and the, you know, the better parts of it. But getting to the root cause and not tearing the whole thing down to understand that. So that's kind of my walk and where I work into this equation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were saying that both of you study a lot of different like modalities and things. What were some of the most, Robert, let's just start with you. What were some of your most interesting areas of your studies?
Well, you know, I think about that, and then I get new ones all the time.
Sure.
And it's like just the other day, I had a lady who had severe arthritis, and she's in her 70s. She's had it since she was a little girl, she said. And we put her, they purchased one of our sound tables, and I put her on her own table as we set it up and started working with her. She got up off the table. This is maybe 20, 30 minutes of working with her. And she said, I've never stood this straight before.
How about that? Yeah,
the tears were running.
Oh boy.
Face.
Yeah.
I said, never? She says, never. And she was just amazed that that change could happen after decades of fixation and stuff with the body. But, you know, people don't realize that what we think of as solid, dense matter, quantum physics proven it's mostly empty space. 99.9999%,
right.
Nothing there. And what little bit of something that is there is oscillating, vibrating patterns of electromagnetism that our senses resonate with, and we interpret that as solid, dense matter. Just like our senses tell us the Earth is flat and it's standing still, we know it's not. But so it's an illusion. And that little bit of something that is there is a reflection of our belief systems. I call it our BS.
Yeah, it is.
You know, our thoughts, our beliefs, all of that creates this version of us, of our vehicle. That's not who we are. That's just the Chevy that's getting us around the earth plane.
Right. But,
you know, we are not physical beings having spiritual experiences. We're spiritual beings having physical experiences.
Yes.
So just getting people's perception of all that aligned is really important. But it's been an interesting, I'm trying to think of some other, we brought a woman out of a coma.
Family. Oh, wow.
Called us to their house. She'd been in coma, what, 2.5, 3.5 days. And we used some cayenne tincture, put it inside her mouth. Her eyes opened up. She sat up. She says, what the fuck did you do that for? And her family was watching there. Just,
well, it worked.
Jaws on the floor. Well, what happens is the cayenne will dilate the coronary arteries in the heart immediately. That's why somebody have an angina pain, you give them pepper, boom, it brings more oxygenated blood to the heart muscle and the pain
Yeah.
goes away. So her, she was alive, but her heart was so weak that she couldn't perfuse her brain well enough to stay conscious. But the
Right.
rest of her was getting enough to stay alive. But the cayenne, it boom, the cardiac output went up. She immediately, you know, when you put something hot in your mouth, you know how your face gets all red?
Yeah.
There's more blood coming to your head,
Yeah,
right?
vasodilation,
Yeah.
sure.
And so that's what happened. And she just woke up. And then it was amazing because the family, they were able to have closure with her. She lived a week or two after that, I think. This was a while ago, but yeah, there's just so many situations like that that are really profound, but when it happens all the time, it doesn't seem so profound after a while. Does that make sense?
Sure does.
But each time it's
Like, you come home from work, you say, "Well, how was work, dear?" Oh, just normal everyday miracles. That's all.
and then we work out of our home too, so that's what it's not a clinical setting, and that's so
Right.
important too.
Yes.
You know, the white coats, and you get the white coat syndrome, and which, and then our house, we have no wireless devices. We've painstakingly gone through and got rid of all the junk lighting, wireless, you know, the microwave fields. We went back to Ethernet cables on our computers, got rid of the wireless phones, went back to corded phones like we used to use. And
Right.
so just people tell us, just walking in our place, they feel like they're in a different world or something.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but they're so, because this stuff is everywhere.
We have invisible offenders nowadays,
Yeah, in
and
invisible offenders. I like that, Carrie.
we don't realize it. I think the one that the biggest invisible offender that people know of is like nuclear radiation. People wouldn't
Right.
knowingly want to live next to a nuclear plant. I mean, we all kind of now agree that that is a invisible source of something we don't know, but that it makes us have things that we don't like. It's like real basic. But it's gotten worse kind of since then, since we're into the microwave era. When cell phones came on the scene, that's a microwave. And people don't realize that that is like a microwave oven, It has the same frequency. And now we have routers, putting out the whole Wi-Fi or that electromagnetic field so we can connect to things. We can walk around with this iPad and this device and this gaming and this baby monitor and these security devices. And it's just gone nuts. And we don't realize how many invisible devices there are. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So I think
Right.
that is a huge elephant in the living room for people. That is a big wake-up call. These things have snuck in. They have the companies and manufacturers are in it for their own profit, not your health. We could easily change all that. There could be a different frequency that wouldn't be so harmful, but it's not right now. And we are in a soup of electromagnetic pollution. It's like radiation. Think nuclear radiation. It's just a different frequency. So that's one of the things that led us to create our Two Bros Healing Sound Table, because we realized that frequency is, I mean, everything is a frequency. Colors, sounds, noise, beautiful things, wind. Loving feelings, arguments, whatever. It's all a frequency. And, we're as a humanity are just starting to be on the dawn of understanding that we know, recently there's been magnetic medicine, the Nikan magnets, the magnetic shoes and beds, it's a type of frequency that people are starting into, but we're going to get a lot more sophisticated as we learn how to use these in healing and helpful ways, and how to use them to negate a lot of the inferior frequencies that we're bathed in right now. So that's one thing I wanted to express, is the invisible poison that's all around us.
Right. Well, Robert, I've talked to you about the fact that we're planning on I'm starting the world's first Heilkunst teaching hospital. And one of the paradigms that's going to change, of course, instead of the local, and it'll just be the first one, you know, of something it's in the future of those eventualities. One of the things that that will be is that instead of the local community hospital being pretty much the most dangerous place in the community, this will be the safest place in the community. What an interesting concept that will be, right?
It will be.
Yeah. So as you see things, you know, both of you, if you would, how does the alternative, you know, the holistic healthcare fit into the future of medical care? And I'll just put a caveat out there. We're pretty sure that in the next 8 to 10 years, the conventional medical system is going to completely collapse.
Well, I hope it's soon.
Be ready.
I hope it's soon. And we need to have extreme accountability for these people, from Fauci and his, you know, people don't realize he was behind the AIDS debacle in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's the same fake PCR test to get people to take AZT, which was a deadly drug, just like the remdesivir
run
near.
Yeah.
They were killing people and they were blaming it on HIV virus.
Right.
People don't realize there's never been any virus isolated ever on the planet. There is no proof that viruses exist. It's all theoretic. And the whole field of virology is pretty much fake. So this invisible
enemy.
Fear, this enemy that's going to attack us and create fear and get people to walk up and accept these bioweapon injections.
Like it's a little bacteria. They're passing it off. It's like
The germ theory.
Yeah, small
right?
micro.
Germ theory.
Like exactly. It's like no. We have to constantly uncover that falsity.
So germs, pathogens, what we call pathogens, are basically the cleanup crew, cleaning up a toxic mess. They're like the hazmat crew coming in to clean up the body. And it's the terrain that's the problem. It's not that these...
Yeah, Beecham's terrain.
Yep.
Right. So just like we see firemen at burning buildings all the time. So you go, well, they're always at burning. They must have started the fire because they're always there.
Them.
And it's like that same kind of
illogical
logic tells you, well, mosquitoes cause stagnant water. Flies and maggots cause garbage. And when the rooster crows in the morning, that makes the sun come up.
Right.
Yeah. It does it every day. You can.
Yeah. Those are very thought-provoking metaphorical sayings there.
Thank you.
Really like that. That's so neat.
These cleanup crew are there because of the condition. They didn't cause the condition.
Yep. So back to the cleansing, helping the body to eliminate things that aren't eliminated normally, and then they're stored abnormally.
You have to enable the detox pathways in the body. A lot of them are non-functional because people are so toxic and deficient. Just in the liver itself, we have what's called phase one and phase two detox.
I say most people don't even get to phase two.
Right.
Exactly.
But each one of the, it's think of a coin sorter where different coins go down different slots, right? So the phase two detox pathways like that, and certain toxins come down these different pathways. You know, it might be hormones, metals, different waste products that are being detoxified. So they all need nutrition to function. They all have specific nutrition. And there's six phase two detox pathways. Three of them need sulfur. You know, people, they need the sulfur to detox, to bind up metals, to transport the metallothionine, to hand it off to glutathione in the liver to get it out of the body.
That's why they say broccoli sprouts, cruciferous, kale, you know, a lot of those for the sulfur.
Right.
eggs. That's kind of the reasoning, one of the reasons behind that.
And we need magnesium and B vitamins and so many things that people aren't getting. Now, the hardest thing for people to get is the right kind of minerals. And we need 60 minerals every day. We need 90 nutrients. Two-thirds of that is minerals. And then we need 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, two essential fatty acids. So we need 90 nutrients, but 60 minerals, and the minerals have to have gone through photosynthesis before our bodies can really utilize them. So they have to go through a plant first.
Right.
If you took a rusty nail, the rust is iron oxide, right? If you
Right.
sucked on that nail to try to get more iron into your body,
Do you think it would work?
your body can't do it.
Yeah, it's not bioavailable.
Right.
Correct.
If you
Correct.
took a piece of chalk, which is calcium carbonate, if you sucked on that chalk to get more calcium, your body can't do it, right? But if you put those in the soil of a plant, the microbes will break it down and the roots will absorb it into the plant. And then through photosynthesis, it gives it a charge. It's like a
Right.
capacitor with a charge
Right. I
connected.
like that. A capacitor with a charge.
And then that's going to become like a spark plug in the body, in the physiology of the body. So
Yes.
to get our minerals from plant sources, plant-based minerals, and we need 60 of them every
And the
day.
right amount, too. Like people say, oh, I take magnesium. Well, what kind do you take? Well, magnesium oxide. Well, you're not absorbing that. You're just making you poop, or giving you runny stool. You need the right form. There's many good forms, and like, are you taking enough? It's like, oh, good, magnesium glycinate. That's a good one. How much you taking? 200 milligrams. Oh, let's see. And you're 6 foot and about 180 pounds. I think we need quite a bit more than that. So people don't get enough sometimes of certain things. So there's a whole little litany of nutrients, like you said, as we cross over, that the less dependence on fix me, doctor, give me this pill to keep, resolve me of my responsibility. Once we get out of that paradigm, we'll be like, oh, you're this weight. It's like we do that for animals. If you're gonna, veterinary medicine, oh, this big of a heifer needs this much of a, selenium supplement or whatever. It's like, and they know that. So you think we're different on that level?
It's funny,
No.
people
Right.
will, how many do you take? One. Well, I was afraid to take more. But then they're taking
Handful
handfuls of drugs and they never
prescription.
question,
Oh no.
the
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
and they never tested the interactions of this drug with this drug. It's just
Oh
not.
yeah, it blows people's minds. I said, did they ever tell you about any of these side effects from these drugs? I said, well, let's just take one. And you go through some of the very common side effects. And I said, well, have you noticed that some of these side effects are exactly
You see,
what you're complaining about right now?
exactly. Yes.
Same as the indications for the
Yes.
drug.
Yes.
I know just the other day I had a lady, she had tremors for years and she's on all these drugs. So I went up and did a search and printed out all the side effects. They both create tremors, both drugs.
Right.
And this and the MDs, they're
Well,
not.
they went just when they go in there, whether it's the RN or the MD, let's say, they open the box, they throw the insert with the literature in, they just throw it away, never give it to
Right.
the patient, and they just keep right on going, because they don't want to have any medical accountability, because if that were the case, well, they couldn't give the referral to their neurologist or the cardiologist or their dermatologist and all this kind of stuff, because nobody's really paying attention to the whole body. Not really.
And they've got probably $300,000 student loan to pay off or more.
Yes.
And so they're toeing the line and not trying to make waves. And then there's the whole conscription issue.
Yeah.
They're conscripted by the government, right?
Yeah.
The military. And
Yeah.
all that. So they have no idea.
But not that we can't have emergency medical care.
Oh no, of course, right?
That is,
You
I
know,
think people get freaked out when you start,
and that's antipathic, which of course, if you're able to use like advanced cardiovascular life support, and the patient survives that, and then instead of going in out of the ICU into like a medical surgical floor, they get out and they come maybe with a trusted family member to see you guys, let's say. And you take them through what they need to go through, just like let's say they do in the Gerson Clinic down in Mexico, Tijuana, and they spend a, let's say they spend a week there. These are some of the things that we're going to be working on so that the patient and either a trusted family member or caregiver can come and get training for a week or longer, depending on what's going on. Then
Awesome.
when they go home, they can actually do something about what's happening to them.
Exactly.
Right now the whole system, it's a mess and it's overwhelmed. And we also, I mean, we have to take care of all of the existing calamities and problems at the same time. It's just like doing the whole assembly, bringing down to the line everything. We're setting up how to take everybody that's not too bad now and keep them better, keep them good. But we have to start with the food and the toxicity. We've got to have good food. We got to get rid of the GMOs and all places have to have access to clean food and water. Everybody's water's terrible.
Parasite.
Oh
yes. Oh
Terrible.
yes.
People don't filter the
Yep.
water. If they do, oh, I have one on my refrigerator. It's like, what? We got to get up to speed on this stuff. And sometimes one method is not enough. Some of these, the gravity flow, that's good. Reverse osmosis, so that's good. But distillation's better. Oh, I'm going to take out my minerals. No, you don't absorb minerals with water. You need to get them through the plant source, like Bobby was just explaining. So all of these types of things need to be sorted out and put in place to really make this like take your foot off the accelerator or onto the gas or just like switch them, put the new things in place while we're still taking care of people. But all kinds of potential patients will not be potential patients if they get quality care. If we
Yes.
things now with a lot of people that aren't in a crisis. I mean, take care of the people in crisis, of course, but let's not keep people going off the cliff. It's like put a sign out saying cliff ahead,
Yeah, right, exactly.
But
Yeah, I hear you. Well,
the
listen.
emergency room is where the medics really shine. That's their wheelhouse. And if I got a bullet in me or I'm mangled, I don't want anybody else working on me because that's where they really shine. But once you go into the hospital, I mean, they'll use magnesium chloride to save your life when you have a heart attack in the ER. But you go into the hospital and you're admitted, magnesium never comes up again, right? Because they can't patent a natural substance and charge exorbitant fees. So they want to isolate and synthesize things and then patent it. That's why they call it patent medicine. And so we're working with things you can go to the grocery store and buy, garlic and cayenne pepper and things like that, that just they should be in every emergency room. They should be
Wait,
on every
something.
ambulance
Sunshine.
rig to stop bleeding,
An animal bag.
to stop angina pain and all kinds of stuff like that.
And
Magnesium.
there's even some EMS systems around the country. I had heard of one where Chris Enderline is a DO up there. I think it's in Michigan. Wisconsin. And he's got the paramedics instead of using the matter of fact, I need to get him on this podcast. Instead of using the normal morphines and things like that, he's got them. I think they have six essential oils. They put them on
Diffusers.
balls of cotton balls, and they use that DermaClear tape and they tape it to their chest so they can. Like that, and it can help them with, anywhere from mild to moderate pain. And of course, they're not adding to the opioid addiction,
Absolutely.
crisis.
Hmm.
So these are some of these workarounds that people need to be thinking about going forward and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So, what did we do before Rockefeller medicine in 1910?
Yeah, right.
Everybody died in childbirth.
Listen, even when I was a paramedic, when I first became a paramedic, we would talk about pain control, and they had this overall thing. It says, listen, if you give pain medication to a patient, you're really taxing them. So that's kind of like a last ditch thing. Now, you can't be in pain. It's like against the law for a patient to be in pain. So we like to talk to people about, instead of having the idea, right? You know, the world teaches, oh, nobody should suffer. Right. Well, you know, that's a bunch of hogwash, right?
That's how we live.
So we talk to them about, listen, why don't you just say no to the unnecessary suffering and just say yes to the necessary suffering? Because the one thing, great thing about healing reactions and things like that, this too shall pass. They'll actually be stronger on the other side of it. And
you're right. So much suffering too. It could be just sacrificing. What are you willing to sacrifice to get here? You know, it's like, do you have to give up, you know, all the sugar, all of this stuff that's making you feel bad to get to better health? You know, that, and then go ahead and touch the emotions that are being expressed.
So you're creating the comfort foods.
Yeah, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of brings us full circle, because I know we're getting close to our time. But, you know, going back to the whole levels of healing, you know, we are on a lot of the physical side. But when we come back to frequencies, we're, you know, we start looking at emotions too. And what have
of
people
course.
Suppressed and denied and ignored? And then that comes out in inopportune times, places, and health conditions.
Yes.
Recognizing that and then giving people a safe place to put their emotions back in check, to not have the unhealthy feelings, to not have to bring this drama in the situation. But yet we still can't be all happy like that and ignore the electromagnetic fields and the GMO food and all that as well. It's a lot.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Just like cleaning our houses, you know, what we have to clean, the air conditioning ducts and the vacuum cleaner bags and, you know, that kind of stuff to make it work.
It sure is. Well, Carrie and Robert, listen, I don't want to wear out, you know, our welcome, but we do appreciate so much that you're here. And so many people are going to hear this around the country, around the world. And some of them are going to say, wow, what did she say? Or what did he say? And they're going to want to get in touch with you guys.
We got a website.
So how can they get in touch with you?
Well, we have our website, which is tuberoshealing.online.
Spell tuberose.
That's spelled TUBEROSE. Tuberosehealing.online. And there's a lot of information there. I'm rebuilding the site. We had our first website in 1997. Tuberose.com. We had that for 20 years. And then I let it go, and I got into the sound table and all that stuff. And then we rebuilt another one, tuberosehealing.com. And that got hacked by actually our host for our website.
I call them tech rats.
Yeah. So now we have two. We have the one he just mentioned, and then we have the sound table.
We have the tuberosesoundtables
with an S
.com.
It's okay. Cool. Nice. Very and nice indeed.
Link to the other site too. So it takes education. That's the key to helping people, is education. And that's what we're all about.
It sure is.
Presenting the truth.
And just as we're, you know, trying to bring all this, you know, it is the messenger, but it's the message. It's so important. And I want to encourage people not to be too concerned about this, the technical aspects like of our recordings and things like that. And I want each of you to know, whoever you're listening to, that I'll certainly help to resource you, because I can hardly wait to do together what we could never do apart. And as we come together in extraordinary ways, just like you can with Robert and Carrie, it's just going to be really neat to see, because one of the visions that we have and that we keep seeing is finding ways and means to help people to become well against all odds, because the odds are stacked against people now. It's been estimated that the world is 10 million times more toxic than it was than even for our grandparents. So this is no benign environment and situation we're in. Someone can say, well, I feel fine, you know. Yeah, well, you always feel fine just before you don't.
Right.
So it's very wise not to wait till the wheels fall off
exactly
before you do something, you know, about it. So as I wrap this up, Neil McKinney is also a fellow Heilkunst physician, and he's been helping me with the technical aspects of these podcasts. So we really appreciate Neil and his life. But my dear friends today, I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And who knows how this is all gonna work out? But one thing I know, it's gonna be great, because it's already great. We are getting busier than we've ever been, and we want people to become holistic health practitioners of one flavor or another. We want you to raise your skill levels and your scientific levels up to the Heilkunst medical standards, so that whatever it is that you're doing, that you're the best and brightest. So, and you can also keep to the common law maxim of do no harm and be harmed by none. And who can really, you know, argue or have a problem with that type of environment and ambient that we're living in? So I thank God for your lives. I'm glad we're here, and hopefully you can come back soon, and you're going to have something that you really want to talk about, and we can't wait to hear it when it happens. Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
We're looking forward to sharing. We've got a lot of stuff, like with our microscopy live blood work that we're doing, and other things that we just don't have enough time to share today. But
thank you for
teamwork.
Makes
the dream work.
And thank you for the work that you're doing.
For what you're doing.
Okay. Blessings on you guys.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Fist bump.
Okay, love you.
Okay.